This is The Book Group on RNIB Connect Radio. RNIB Talk and Support run telephone social groups for adults with sight loss. There are tele-befriending groups which help you socialise by phone for friendship and support, or you can share your passion for books and reading by taking part in a telephone book club. We'll tell you how you can take part in your own telephone social group later on in the show. But for now, let's listen in to our telephone book group on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, I'm Peggy. I'm 80. I'm from Scotland, but now I live in West Wales. I have macular degeneration. I've always loved reading. I love anything and everything. I read all sorts of books and always have.
Hello, I'm David. I'm from Chester and I'm 57 years old. I went blind when I was 6 months old, and I have very badly scarred retinas. As far as reading goes, I do like a lot of horror fiction. I like some crime fiction, and I like a lot of classics.
I'm Lillian, and I'm from Wigan. I like reading a variety of things, particularly like crime.
Hi, I'm called Peter, and I live in Grays, Essex. I'm 91. If you pardon my stammer, by the way, I have a wide taste in books, adventure stories. I've been reading Terry Pratchett recently.
Hello there. My name is Alan. I'm 65 and I live in Epping Forest. I've been blind since birth, and I have macular dystrophy of the Stargardt type. I love books, I love reading, I love audiobooks. Crime and travel are my favourite genre.
Hello, I'm Supriya. I come from Aldershot, and I'm 42. And I have been blind since I was about 2 years old, and I had a condition called retinoblastoma, which is a tumour in the eyes. I like reading classics, and any other books, mainly historical fiction, romantic fiction, and I'll try anything once.
I'm your host and today's facilitator, Robert Kirkwood, and this month the group are discussing The Disappearance of Adele Badeau by Graham McRae Burnett. The RNIB Talking Book is read by James Bryce.
It was an evening like any other at the Restaurant de la Cloche. Behind the counter, the proprietor, Pasteur, had poured himself a pasty, an indication that no more meals would be served, and that any further service would be provided by his wife, Marie, and the waitress, Adele. It was 9 o'clock. Manfred Baumann was at his usual place by the bar. Lemaire, Petit, and Cloutier sat around the table by the door, the day's newspapers folded in a pile between them. On their table was a carafe of red wine, 3 tumblers, 2 packets of cigarettes, an ashtray, and Lemaire's reading glasses. They would share 3 carafes before the night was out. Pasteur opened his newspaper on the counter and leaned over it on his elbows. He was developing a bald patch, which he attempted to disguise by combing back his hair. Marie busied herself sorting cutlery.
James Bryce narrating The Disappearance of Adele Badeau by Graham McRae Burnett, the subject of this month's book group. And please note, although this conversation has been edited for broadcast, it still may contain spoilers for the book. Peggy, what did you think of the book?
I enjoyed it. It was very different. And I was torn between feeling sorry for both Manfred and for the detective and getting annoyed with him. You know, I found it very aggravating, but I did feel they were victims of, well, Manfred was a victim of his childhood and the detective was a victim of his wife, really. But it was a strange book and I suppose in a way an unsatisfactory ending. But it was interesting reading the translator's note about the author and how he related to the main character.
Now, I'll tell you about those notes later on, but do you think Peggy was also a victim of his own imagination?
Oh, yes. I mean, they kept going off into these weird fantasies and imagining things that were, and, you know, the paranoia about being watched when nobody was really paying any much attention to them. Mm. A lot of it was, I thought the background and everything, the restaurant and everything was very well drawn. You could really sort of see the characters, although some of them were decidedly weird. Yeah, I would say on the whole I enjoyed it. It seems a shame that the author never wrote anything else.
Now, David, what did you think?
Well, I kind of would like to endorse what Peggy said. I did quite enjoy it. Mm. But yeah, it was interesting, the sort of the detective's paranoia. I mean, I think an awful lot of us have this idea that people take more notice of us than they really do. Mm. I think he was a victim of that, really.
Peter, would you agree?
I found there was loads of description, but no plot as far as I could see. You know, there was no story there that I could identify with, really.
Supriya, what did you think of the book?
Well, for me to tell you what I thought about the book, I need to mention the author. Am I allowed to at this stage or not?
Yes, sir.
I mean, what we read on the internet, which is... I didn't have very high expectations of the book, but I was pleasantly surprised. I actually liked reading it. It's better than some of the books I've had recently. And I was actually... wanting to go back to it. I didn't put it down for very long, so I read through it quite quickly. But towards the end, I was very disappointed with what started to happen towards the end, the last few chapters, last couple of chapters. I felt a bit let down by the author for more than one reason. A, because I felt he wanted to finish the book and he just finished it any old how. After writing a fairly good book, he didn't know how to end it, which comes across as a bit disappointing. And the second thing is, I got my husband to go on the internet and read up about the author and why he said what he said, especially at the end, the epilogue, it's so believable what he says. So I was actually very confused. So we went on the internet and read up about him. I was actually angry by that. Why anybody would want to pretend that they're somebody they're not and make up a story and all the rest of it. So I'm not sure what the point of it all was.
I know what you mean, and I'll say it, and I think, Peggy, you, just the way you were describing it, you didn't get this. The whole thing, from beginning to end, is a novel, but written by one person who's pretending to be a translator from the French. So the introduction, the bit at the end, everything was all written by the same man who was just pretending to be, pretending to translate it from the French.
I mean, it was a strange, it was quite disjointed in places as well. But on the whole, I would say I enjoyed it, and I was sorry there's not more about it, more from him.
Lillian, what did you think of the book?
It did come across as kind of very, you know, boring and long drawn out. I thought the characters, the male characters, were very unpleasant. I didn't like any of the characters. I couldn't sympathise with the two main characters. It's ages since I read it now. Manfred and George, was it the one? You know, they just seem to wallow in their own misery and not make any attempts to improve what was happening to them. So the whole cast of men were horrible, I thought. The restaurant owner, the obese hairdresser, and Manfred's grandfather. The writer didn't seem to have any interest in women other than as a plot device, which, as you say, we'll talk about the title, which was very misleading. I couldn't place the story in time, and it seemed, the routines and the descriptions, they seemed very old-fashioned. But then they started to talk about modern-day things like scooters, so I had absolutely no idea when it was set.
Yeah, no, I didn't, you're right.
I thought the only interesting part for me, I thought the murder of his young girlfriend, Juliet, I thought that was an unexpected shock. I like the description of the pawnbroker's shop, the detective's father, because that sounded like Dickens' Old Curiosity Shop to me. Mm. But as I say, most of it, he did did succeed in kind of conveying that, you know, slow, small town life. You know, it was very tedious, I thought, you know, the lives they were living. And the ending, I was really, I mean, I quite like unresolved endings in books, but this just seemed, someone else said, you know, that it's almost as if he couldn't think of anything to explain her disappearance. And the afterward, all this about it being a translation, I thought the only thing I could kind of think of with that, the reason for it was, I thought, before I'd listened to the afterward, thought the style seemed to me, it was like a clipped style of prose and some strange short sentences and expressions. And at times, as I was listening to it, it sounded like a translation from another language, because I've talked to English to people who speak other languages, and it was almost like a translation back into English. Strange expressions like Protestant temple, and it didn't, I didn't think the writing flowed, but then I thought, well, is he trying to make it sound like a translation? I was relieved when it was over, to be honest. And I wasn't really enjoying it, you know. I had to force myself. I think if I'd had a choice, or hadn't been doing it for this group, I probably wouldn't have finished it, to be honest. I'd have got bored and given up. It was a very strange, misleading title.
Weird.
I felt it was a strange book in many ways. Still different, interesting.
And Alan, what were your initial thoughts on it?
Certainly interesting. I mean, you'd be forgiven at the beginning to think you were dropping into a version of Allo, Allo. And was he really George Grosky? Was he really a detective? I mean, he was like Clouseau without the laughs. I mean, look, it had a sense of place. I thought I was, when I was listening, I was in a small town, provincial, French town restaurant, and I was there, and he drew characters very well. I agree with everyone. They're not particularly likable characters, particularly the males. But I like, you know, I got the sense of place. I got the restaurant, I got the character, characters were drawn well, and I also realised how much wine French people drink.
yeah.
You know, second and third bottles were being ordered, you know, the first course had not arrived yet.
They still can't compete with my wife.
Oh, really? But no, I mean, it's little things like, on a serious note, there were passages which were really sensitive and written well. You know, when he went back, when George took him back to the place of Juliet's murder, I thought that was written reasonably well. But then this detective, you know, lets him, sort of drops him off at home rather than the police, take him back to the police station. Oh, it was just drifted. And, you know, the Met character, Manfred, we know that he overthinked everything. But please do me a favour. You know, we got the listener, the reader got it that he was overthinking things, as David said, paranoia plus. But you know, should I go to Munich? Should I go to Paris? Should I go to Strasbourg? No, I won't. I'll go. You know, should I get money out of the cash machine? Oh no, that will. I mean, it went on and on. We got it. The reader's got it. Credit the reader with some nous, with some intelligence. You know, and funnily enough, Robert, I heard your excellent interview with him after I heard the book, and I found that more entertaining than the book. I found it very interesting, very intelligent. Graham's a very intelligent person, author, and I hope he goes on to bigger and better things. I really do. But you know, I found that interesting. The questions he threw up, like, don't ask what was in the author's head. He wants the reader to think of the conclusion or the end themselves. Well, we've all read books like that. Some are good, some are not so good. Very unsatisfactory. So I agree with Peggy and Lillian. Very mode, if you like. I even poured myself a glass of wine while I was
doing it. French one, good, I hope.
A very good idea.
Yeah, well, I think it helped. But, you know, the ending was so, as Lillian and Peggy, is so unsatisfying. And then you feel, you know, it's a horrible feeling to think, I've invested my time in this book, and it's taken me to this sort of feeble end, which I felt let down, like the others. And then when I read the translator's notes and things, like the others, I was a little bit confused at the start, but, I managed to work it out, you know. But not that convincing, you know. And then I heard I thought, I must hear Robert's interview at the Edinburgh Book Festival, which I thought was actually very good. He entertained his audience. He provoked his audience as well, the things he threw out. I don't know if everyone else heard that. Did you?
Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet.
No. Yes,
maybe,
I did.
Yeah, give that a listen, Peggy. It might answer one or two unanswered questions.
Well, he actually said he wanted to convey the dullness and ordinariness of the place. And I thought, well, he certainly achieved that.
He's certainly focusing on the minutiae.
And we'll have more from the book group after this.
RNIB. Supporting people with sight loss.
Would you like to chat over the telephone with a group of like-minded people? RNIB's award-winning telephone social groups are small, friendly and lots of fun. A great way of making new friends and a chance to socialise without leaving the comfort of your home. Telephone RNIB Talk and Support on 0845 330 3723 or email talkandsupport@rnib.org.uk.
And now we return to the book group, who are discussing The Disappearance of Adele Badeau by Graham McRae Burnett. The talking book is read by James Bryce.
Adele served coffee to the two remaining diners and began wiping the wax cloths of the other tables, pushing the crumbs onto the floor that she would later sweep. Manfred observed her. His place was not exactly at the bar, but at the hatch through which food was brought from the kitchen. He continually had to adjust his position to allow the staff to pass, but nobody ever thought to ask him to move.
But he said in the interview that he probably dare not go back to St. Louis because he'd done such a hatchet
job.
Well,
I won't be reading that then.
But you know, I mean, in one group, in fact, I think it was this group, forgive me if it wasn't, I'm certain it was this group, one of our books we had to review or discuss was Chocolat. Do you remember Chocolat?
Oh, yes.
And, you know, that really gave us all, I think I remember what was said by all of us, not just me or my opinion. We got a sense of France, didn't we, being there in France. And it was when the festival was on there and stuff. But somehow, because it was so flat in places, you know, no zing in it at all. And the male characters were annoying, actually. They were really annoying. You didn't really pick up on that, apart from the restaurant atmosphere, you know, hence my like tongue-in-cheek relation to Hello, Hello and stuff. You know? it was, and the detective, my goodness. I mean, you know, and then 20 years, and also I found, you know, when he was building the relationship when Celine, his wife-to-be at that time, was 19, so he must have been about 25, 26, George Grotowski, the detective. It was a very adolescent relationship, you know. I mean, I just thought that was, you know, sort of didn't ring true, really. At the end, when the woman's title of the book, you know, when Adele suddenly returned, and Marie took her up, and she had this little chat, and that was it. You were just like, oh, she's back. Oh,
yeah.
Right, where did she go? What happened?
A complete cheat, the title of the book, because if you'd seen that, you thought it was going to be a mystery. But there was nothing about that. I know they call it a MacGuffin. I know that's what they call it. But that's what they call it when it's
you got in McDonald's.
No, but it's where
you're misled, isn't it? By you know, it's like a plot device. She's a plot device. That's all she is, you know. And but I just felt really cheated by it.
Having heard the interview, I mean, he's such an intelligent bloke to listen to, and I found him quite entertaining. But he can do better. And the book that's been mentioned that he's writing about something that happened in Scotland, I believe, and he's using that as the base of the book, the Blood Project. What's the title, Robert?
The one that was listed for the Booker Prize in 2016 was His Bloody Project.
That's right, that one. I haven't read that. I haven't had a chance. I don't even know it's available on audio. It is it?
Yeah, it was recorded in this very building, actually.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, I mean, might give that a go, because obviously it takes us out of small provincial town France, obviously.
Into much smaller town Scotland, though.
Right, yeah. It's sort of based on, like, real characters and stuff that existed, you know. So I'd be interested to see how he develops that, you know, because obviously you almost know the end before you write. So it would be interesting to read that book, perhaps. But that's what I thought of this one, yes. Much the same as others did.
Manfred's life was wasted somehow towards the end. I did have some sympathy for him because he had a really horrible childhood, which could have affected his later life in lots of ways.
What kind of era was it set in? Have you any idea?
I think it's the '80s. I think it's the '80s from looking on the internet.
Oh, right.
Although nothing was made clear, I kept wondering, like you, I'd like to know when this is set, really.
Yeah,
because it does help understanding the story.
Yeah.
Yes, I think early '80s, I would imagine.
Now, I don't know how carefully people read the afterword, but he did mention something about an accident on the A35. That's his next book.
That doesn't exist.
Yeah, the accident on the A35 is the second George Gorski detective novel.
Yeah.
Would there be any interest in anybody reading that?
Yeah, I'd be interested. I mean, he was another one I felt sorry for because of, I think his father, because of him trying to escape from his father, he was driven into a job that didn't necessarily suit him. And I think he was very immature, and I think that's how Celine got her claws into him.
And I got the impression that the murder of Juliet was his first ever case.
Yes.
Yeah, because he got it by mishap almost, yeah.
Yeah, because the older detective that his father had sort of spoken to had sort of taken him under his wing, and I think he was, after he'd been in the beat, that was his first real detective.
The other interesting thing, listening, going back, putting the book with the interview together, and I'm sure I heard the author, Graham, say that he really liked the character, Grosky's, the detective's wife, Celine, her name. And he really liked her, and he gave her a really rough time in the book. You know, she was the one who didn't, once he married him, then incrementally got to dislike him and his lower class habits, if you like, because she regarded herself as middle class and upwards, you know, socially sort of climber.
And yet she started off as a shop girl, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm interested in that, you know, given that I think we all agree that the women characters were just part of the sort of mortar amongst the bricks.
He didn't seem to have much interest.
Yeah,
in
the
women.
Author really, really liked, and he actually used the word loved the character Celine.
Mm-hmm.
How did anyone else view her character?
Well, again, I think she was just part of the plot. I didn't think he'd put any flesh on any of the women, really. You know,
wasn't very strong at all, was it?
No. I just was very disappointed with, perhaps because it's a woman, I was expecting more of the women characters, but it just seemed to be all about the men, what was happening with the men.
And you've got occasional mention of the daughter, but nothing.
The most irritated bit I got, because I wanted it, as someone said, to move on, it didn't have enough oof in it, you know, when every single thing he was overthinking, you know, the man on the train over there, newspaper behind someone else will know that it's something else. You know, we'd got it by then. We'd honestly got it by then.
But wasn't that a reflection of the
his paranoia behind it?
State
of mind, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the empty chair, I mean, because he was replaced, wasn't he? Because he was part of the card playing force.
And when the next time he went in, the barkeeper had just replaced him without anybody saying anything to him.
Exactly.
But, you know, and like I said, although mostly I found him annoying, there were times when you felt sorry for him, and you did realise that he was a product of a very weird and unhappy childhood.
Yeah. And when we met his grandfather in the book, that really brought it out, didn't it? You know?
How was the narrator?
The reader was good, yes.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was quite good.
I thought the reader deserves 9 out of 10. You know?
Yeah, I would agree he was excellent.
He was called James Bryce.
James Bryce.
Right. Yeah. Well, a reader can enhance a book, can't they?
Or spoil it.
A lot of it's the emphasis on performing. There's some really good readers that actually perform rather than just read the book. They actually perform. And that, if it's done really well, that's a fantastic experience.
Yeah. I do think that the reader of Adele Boudou was definitely made the most of it, if you like, rather than...
Yeah, I agree. That was the one really shining light in the whole business, really.
Yeah. I think if the reader, I would give him 9 out of 10, but if he was 4 out of 10, I may not have finished the book.
Yeah.
Did anybody else think the writing style was a bit odd?
I mean, I agree with you. The translator's note was a bit odd.
I was just finishing that when Tom phoned, so I never actually got to the end of the translator's note. I thought I did to finish the book in time.
You'd like to take something from everything, sort of thing.
What I wondered was, you know, this translator's note that he's written, if one didn't go on the internet or looked into it further, would that mislead people completely? They would actually believe that he's translated it and this other person, fictitious person, actually existed and wrote a book? Is that the right thing to do? I don't know, ethically.
Well, that was the impression it gave me, but as I say, I hadn't actually finished the notes at the end.
It's like a massive practical joke, isn't it? Like a big hoax.
At the table by the door, Le Maire, a barber whose shop was not far from the restaurant, was holding forth on the subject of the milking cycle of dairy cows. He was explaining at some length how the yield could be increased merely by milking the cattle at shorter intervals. Cloutier, who had been brought up on a farm, attempted to interject that any gains made by such a measure were lost in the long term by shortening the milk-bearing life of the cows. Le Maire shook his head vigorously and made a gesture with his hand to quieten his companion. "A common misconception," he said, before continuing with his lecture. Cloutier stared at the table and fidgeted with the stem of his glass. Le Maire was a corpulent man in his early 50s. He was wearing a burgundy V-neck sweater over a black polo neck. His trousers were hiked halfway up his belly and secured with a thin leather belt. His hair, which Manfred assumed he dyed, was jet black and combed back from his forehead, revealing a pronounced widow's peak. Petit and Cloutier were both married, but they rarely made reference to their wives, and when they did so, it was always in the same deprecating terms. Le Maire had never married. "I don't believe in keeping animals in the house," was his customary explanation.
One last clip of James Bryce narrating The Disappearance of Adele Boudou by Graham McRae Burnett, available from RNIB Library. So final thoughts on the book. Would you read The Accident on the A35 or anything else by Graham McRae Burnett?
Definitely.
No. I think I would read other things first.
I would quite like to see, to read something else if it's just to compare the difference in, you know, how different his writing might be in something in an entirely different subject or an entirely different type of book.
His first novel, and he said it was hard work writing a first novel, you know. And it was his ambition to write a novel, and he's now done that. That's what he said.
I always thought the hardest part was getting your first one published.
Yeah.
He speaks about that. I think he may have had difficulty getting it for the big publisher, but he found a very good small publisher.
William Golding tried several publishers before he got Lord of the Flies published.
Yeah.
Astonishing, really. Yeah.
Hopefully speak to you next month.
Okay,
thank you,
everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Someone has left the conference. Someone has left the conference.
To join a group, either telebefriending or a telephone book club, please email talkandsupport@rnib.org.uk or call one of the two following numbers. 0845 330-3723 or 0207-391-2218. Thanks to RNIB Talk and Support. You've been listening to The Book Group on RNIB Connect Radio.